Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome back to the last class of the day. And on your Money Breakthrough Virtual Intensive. And again, to just do a quick review of where we did today, we've gone over the characteristics of money. We started out with money loves understanding. And we talked there, we did the roots of money exercise and your relationship with money exercise. We then talked about how money does not land in chaos. And we talked about creating your necessity, your desired living, and your ideal living numbers so that you are really clear about your money, where it is, and what kind of money you need to create. We also went into under money land, does not land in chaos. We talked about managing your debt, your investments, and your spending decisions. We then moved on to money loves to be accumulated, and we talked about how to value yourself so that you can start to raise your prices and how to create clear programs and prices so that you can start to charge more for what it is that you're offering. And now we're going to go into some really fun tools around clarity, because money loves clarity. And we're going to go over the money speedometer, the bold goals, and we're going to go over the money types that you got in mail. And then we're going to sum up with some ahas and a wrap-up for the day. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Actually, before I get started, let me just open the line and see if there are any questions from anything that we went over in the last session. Any questions? Okay, good. If you have any questions as we kind of go through this, feel free to write them down so that we can sort of get them before we end the day. And I'm going to go into the clarity tools here. First of all, I want to say thank you for all of you. It's been a really amazing day in your intention, Intention and attention has been amazing. I can feel it through the phone. And I appreciate your ability to sort of stay with me through the course of this day. So let's move into money loves to be paid attention to. So now that you're clear on how much money you need and you're clear on the value that you provide to people, it's important to pay attention to money so that you can continue to monitor it. And the more attention that you give it, the more you will receive. So the first tool that I like to present when we're talking about paying attention to money is your money speedometer. Now, this is a very interesting concept, so stay with me here as I explain it. Oftentimes, for those of us that have been making money for years, we come up against a ceiling of how much money that we can make per month or per year, and we can't seem to get over that ceiling. It's like this glass ceiling above us. And that is your money speedometer, meaning that no matter how much you try to push to go faster to make more, you can't seem to jump over, right, your breaking of where you've been. So for a lot of people, it's like they've never made more than, you know, $45,000 a year, or they can't seem to make more than $9,000 in a month, or they can't seem to break $2,000 in a month. Whatever it is, it's like a sticking point. And the reason they call it a speedometer is because it's sort of like your money up until this point has been on cruise control, and it's set at a certain point. It's set at, you know, $45,000 for the year. And no matter how hard you push, you can't go above 45,000, just like on a cruise control. You know, if you put, you set it at 70 miles per, or at 50 miles per hour, right? If you, no matter how much you press the pedal, you're still going to go 50 miles per hour. And even if you don't press the pedal that much, you're still going to go 50 miles per hour. It's the same thing. It's like you're set on cruise control. And one of the things we need to do to create a revenue breakthrough for you is reset the speedometer, reset it to a higher level. So the first step in doing this process is to figure out what your current speedometer is. What are you currently set to make per month or per year? So the way to do this is to look at your total income per month for the last 12 months. And this should be from all your sources, full-time jobs, anything that has made you money. So, and for those of you that haven't been consistently working for the last 12 months, go ahead and use 12 months from the history. So, like, if you didn't work for the last 6 months, use the 12 months before that. If you worked for 2 months and then you took a 12-month break, use the 12 months before that, right? It's okay for you to have gaps in between. Just look at how much you made in, for each month in the last 12 months. And then select the 5 highest months and add them up. And then divide that total by 5. This gives you your high average. So this gives you where you're set at right now in terms of not being able to make over that amount of money. And this number represents your past beliefs, your actions, and your mindset. So now what you're going to do is you're consciously going to expand your money speedometer. Now the only way to expand your money speedometer and to increase it, to make a new set point, is to do something new. Right? And you guys are all doing a lot of things new because you're in this program. You're sharpening your skill set. You're putting yourself out there. You're getting your, over your own fears and beliefs. So in doing that, you're going to be able to create a new money speedometer. And so what you want to do is just write it down. So let's say that you find out that you add up your 5 highest months and you find out that your current speedometer is set at $2,300 per month. What you would want to do is create a new speedometer, and let's say you want to raise it to $3,000. So you would put $3,000 here, and what you want to do is you want to put it by a certain date. And my recommendation is that you wait 90 days before you check it again. So you're going to say that you want, in 90 days, you want your new money speedometer to be $3,000. And what that means when you recalculate it in 90 days is that you're going to take you're going to take the average of the 5 highest months for the last 12 months, and you're going to recalculate the average again. And what you're trying to do here is increase your average, increase the average amount that you're making so that you're inching higher and higher and higher in terms of your average level of income. So let me just stop here and go into interactive. Is that clear for everybody? Do you have questions about how to create your money speedometer or what it means?
This is Elizabeth. I've got a question. Yes. My high average was from the first 5 months of last year when I was still working at the university and had a regular salary.
Yeah.
Should my new goal be reaching my old salary, or do I need to go outside beyond that?
Oh, okay, good. So your money speedometer, right now, Elizabeth, are you reaching anywhere near that monthly income, like at any of those 5 high months yet? Okay.
No.
That's a great question. So what I would say, Elizabeth, is your money speedometer, you can figure it out by doing that, by averaging those 5 months, and that's what you're set at to, you know, to not make more than that. What I would do is give yourself some time to get to that point in your business. And then once you get to that point in your business, you can start to increase it. So your money speedometer for you to start with should be something realistic for the first 3 months, you know, that you're doing your business, and then you can increase it from there. And then you'll keep increasing it until you hit that point, and then you'll increase it from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. But now you know what you're set at. You know, so even when your business does do well, you'll probably hit that ceiling again until you consciously move that number up again.
Okay.
Thanks,
good.
Yes,
go ahead.
It seems like you're working with mostly the 90 days or the 3 month windows. Is that a recommendation for the date that we should be looking at the speedometer for to make that change, or do we look further out than that? Is there a recommendation?
Yeah, that's a great question too, Joyce. I would say for everybody in this group who is just starting or doesn't have you know, is making, you know, has less than 10 clients or so, I would actually check it again in 6 months. I wouldn't check it again in 3 months. And then for the people in this group that are at a medium level and already have clients, and, you know, and their business is expanding a little bit more quickly, check it at the three-month point. So for you, Joyce, I'd check it in 6 months again. Give yourself a little time to build the business.
Okay.
Hey, Monica, this is Kyra.
Yeah.
I did it, and I was like, wow, this would be a great amount to make per month. But and I'm not going to say it's unrealistic at this point. It's just really, really high, and the reason for it is just because, you know, working with the school, there was such a delay before I got paid that it's like huge sums of money because it was spread over, like I would have needed to spread it over the course of, you know, a few months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what I would do for you, remember, Kai, that this is an average. It's not a monthly goal. So when you test it again, it's going to be the average of the next 3 months. But what I would do for you is keep it at that level or above. And then check it again at the end of 6 months. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not actually trying to reach it monthly. You're trying to reach it as an average. So if in the next 6 months you have like 4 or 5 high months, right, you could probably get to it.
Okay, wait. So what I'm looking at is not for the month, it's for over the course of 3 months or over the course of 6 months.
Yeah. So it's an average.
Oh,
okay. So,
okay.
So like just to do it. Okay. Let's do an easy way. Like an easy way to look at it. Let's say that you figured out your money speedometer in January of this year, right? And you take the five highest months. You would have taken the five highest months of 2010 to do that, right? And
right.
I get what you're saying. It's a super high number because you had some high months, right? In 2010. So now,
and then I had months where I had nothing. It was crazy.
So now what you're going to do is 6 months from now, you're going to take the five highest months of the last 12 months. So
Right. Some
of those high months from 2010 are still going to be in that average, right? And then if you have higher months than that in 2011, you're going to use those months in. So all you're trying to do is etch the six-month average up. Does that make sense? The highest average.
Yeah.
So I still think you can keep that high number. Just check it in 6 months again. And what your goal is to get, and we're going to talk about the monthly number here in a minute, because this is just an average number. But your goal is to keep pulling that average up, even if it's every 6 months. So it means that once over the course of a 12-month period before you check it, you're going to want to have a higher number than you did of the five highest months. You get what I'm saying? That'll take the average up.
I got it. And then the only other question is, so you're saying look at the last, like I did it for the last 12 months up to and including February. Or should I look at just 2010? But look, literally, just look to up to and including February of this year.
Yeah, you want to do the last 12 months from this month. Yeah, that you're doing it. When you do it again 6 months from now, it's the last 12 months from, you know, July, right?
Okay.
You'll see. And the way that you'll get the average up is just by having one of those months of this year be higher than your highest month of last year. And you'll get the average up that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Good. Now, for those of you that are just starting, you're going to be like, this makes no sense, and I don't have monthly income to even do this. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Put this in your head as a tool to use later if you're feeling like it's not appropriate right now. And then for those of you whose businesses are expanding quickly, right, you may want to start to decrease the speedometer time. So, you know, I do it every 3 months. I know people that do it every month because their business is expanding so rapidly that they're literally increasing their average every single month because every month is higher than the last month. Yeah, you know, it really just depends on how quickly your business is growing. All right, any other questions? Okay, let's keep going because some of the other stuff is going to be useful to those of you that are just starting and need some more basic tools. All right, money loves attention. This is tool number two. Actually, let's go to tool number three first. This is one of my favorite tools in the toolbox, the revenue tracking sheet. What the revenue tracking sheet is a way to track the revenue that you bring in from any source, from whatever you're doing every single day. And what that does is it keeps your attention focused on bringing in money, and it's also a great way to celebrate how you bring in money. So the revenue tracking sheet, I gave you a sample of it, and it's a separate handout from the one that's this handout with all the stuff on it. And it's got numbers from 1 to 31 on the left. And essentially the way you use it is every day of the month, so today is the 26th. Next to the 26th, you would write down what revenue came in on the 26th. And then on the 27th, what revenue came in on the 27th, right? And for some of you, when you first start this, you're going to be like, Monica, I'm lucky if I get 2 days a month where I'm cashing checks or where people are paying me money. But what's interesting, and I promise you guys, if you do this, if you continue to keep your revenue tracking sheet current for about 6 months, you're going to notice that something starts to happen. You start to attract more money because you're paying attention to it. And all of a sudden, you're starting to fill in things on your revenue tracking sheet, you know, much more often per month, right? And all of a sudden, you're finding money here, you're finding money there, you're earning money here, you're earning money there, and you're starting to fill in more simply because that is where your attention and your focus is on. So the way you use your revenue tracking sheet is you write your money speedometer and your goal date at the top. Then you write your bold goal, which we're going to go over what your bold goal is. And then write down the money that comes into you from all your various sources every day next to the appropriate number. And then you create a new sheet each month. What I do, you guys, is I don't even use a fancy sheet. I literally pull out a piece of notebook paper, number it from 1 to 31, put my speedometer at the top, my bold goal on the right, I put my bold goal on the left, and then I staple it into my planner. And I always just have a sheet every month where I'm tracking revenue, and it keeps me really clear on what kind of money I want to bring in. And it also keeps me open because I found more than once. This happened last year. I was trying to plan a really big program, and I was trying to get money from, you know, get people in the program. And, you know, and it was funny because people just weren't – the energy wasn't there for the program. And then a week later, somebody asked me to run a training program for them at one of the schools in California, and that training program ended up actually being – twice as lucrative as the one that I was trying to create, and it was actually more perfect than the one that I was trying to create. And I remember thinking I was focused on the revenue goal, not focused on how it was going to come in, and because of that, I managed to manifest a better opportunity. So, again, you're focusing on tracking your revenue from whatever source it comes in from. And then the final tool that's really important is to create bold goals. This is because money loves clarity. Again, it loves to know how much of it you actually want. So a bold goal keeps you focused on a number that works for you. So you would create a money goal that you'd like to create in the next 30, 60, or 90 days. And for everybody on this call, I'd suggest you start with 60 or 90 days. And for most of you, I'd start with 90 days. Then write the goal on the top of your revenue tracking sheet and look at it daily as you begin to write down the money that comes in each day. So what's interesting about a bold goal is that you have to have a plan with it, right? This isn't magical money thinking where if I just write the money at the top of the piece of paper, it's just going to show up for me. What you want to do is say to yourself, okay, in the next 90 days, I'd like to create $3,000 for my business. That means that if one client is worth $1,000 to me, then I need to attract three clients in the next 90 days. And then what do I need to do to attract three clients? That's what, you know, I'm going to go back to the revenue breakthrough notes and figure out exactly what I need to do. So by creating a bold goal and a plan and putting them on your revenue tracking sheet, you're going to start to get really clear about what's coming in, how it's coming in, and how you're doing with your goals. And the thing that I can tell you for certain is that this really works. It really works. I've done it with almost all of my platinum one-on-one clients, where we start having, we start tracking their revenue, we start creating bold goals for them, and before we know it, they're surpassing their goals simply because they're focusing on them. It's also a really nice way for you to not get distracted, right? So if you know that your goal is to bring in a certain amount of revenue, then what you should be doing on a day-to-day basis is focusing on generating that revenue, which to all of you means going out, connecting with people, doing initial sessions, practicing your initial sessions, and offering your programs. Okay, so let me just go back here. Questions. Any questions on bold goal or money speedometer?
This is Elizabeth again. Yes. How is your bold goal different from your money speedometer?
Your money speedometer is your actual, your money speedometer is the is your average money that you have earned, like the five highest months over the last 12 months.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, it's reality. It's actually measuring a reality. Like, what is my average, my high average over the last 12 months? Your bold goal is how much money do I want to earn over the next 3 months? It's a goal. So you're going to write down, I want to earn $3,000, right? And currently my money speedometer is at X amount.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask a second related question?
Yeah.
The old money speedometer and date taken, that's going to be like the 6 month date before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. The 6 month date before. Just so you, I put that on there because I like to see how far I've come. So,
uh-huh.
You would put like your old one down just so you could get a sense of your own improvement.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Great. And Elizabeth is looking at the revenue tracking sheet, you guys, if you're wondering where she's getting this from. So she's asking about the spaces on the revenue tracking sheet that I sent. Good. Joyce?
So just for, because I'm not looking at that sheet right at the moment, yep. Initially we're only going to have a current or past money speedometer
uh-huh.
number, and we're going to have a bold goal.
Yep.
Right? So we're not going to have my new money speedometer is type, so we're not trying to create that. It's going to be just a old money speedometer and a new goal.
Yep. You're going to have your old money speedometer and a new goal. Now,
okay.
You can create a new money speedometer. You can have, like, I want to increase my average by, you know, like, let's say your current money speedometer is $4,000, right? You can say to yourself, I'd like my new average 6 months from now to be $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put that on your money tracking sheet, is the new money speedometer and the date at which you're going to, so here. So on your tracking sheet, there's a space for your bold goal and your date. So let's say that you guys are going to make a bold goal of, you know, $3,000 that you want to make by, you know, a certain point. Then you want to put your new money speedometer and the date that you're going to test it again. So you want your new money speedometer to be $4,500, and you're gonna figure out what it is again on July 30th, and then you just start tracking your revenue.
Okay.
So Joyce, there's actually three things that you're going to do. You're going to figure out your money speedometer as it's currently set right now.
Okay.
Then you're going to figure out a new money speedometer that you'd like to increase it to,
okay.
and the date on which you want to measure it.
Okay.
Then you're going to figure out a bold goal of how much money you want to create in the next 90 days, and the date, you know, 90 days from now, and the date by which you want to make that. And then you're going to start tracking the revenue that comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is all on the revenue tracking sheet as well. The spaces for you to write your bold goal and your date, your new money speedometer and your date, and your old money speedometer and the date taken.
Okay.
Good. So what I want everybody to do right now, just because I want to make sure there's no confusion on this, is write down your bold goal in the next 90 days. So I want you to write down. Okay, so 90 days from now, it's going to be March 26th, April 26th, May 26th. So by May 26th, how much revenue would you like to bring in? So if you've printed out the revenue tracking sheet, write it on your tracking sheet. If not, just write it in a note. By May 26th, I'm going to have created this much revenue. Okay, so let me put you back in interactive here. Did anybody have trouble thinking their bold goal? And I know some of you are like, I have no idea. It's okay. Just put something down. I would base it on maybe the number of clients you want to attract or how much money you think you're going to charge per program. And this is the first place to start. And then you want to get your tracking sheet. And we've only got, a couple more days in February, so maybe you should start your tracking sheet for March, and then go ahead and start tracking revenue that comes in from every different source from March onwards. And that way you can start to get really clear about how you're meeting that goal and how you're doing, and you can kind of add it up as the money comes in. Any questions on that? Okay. Good. I'm going to go back into lecture. Oh, wait. Was there a question?
Hey, Monica. This is
you.
Yeah. Oh. Hello?
Yep. Go ahead.
I just have a quick question. I had I was kind of doing this before with the tracking, and this kind of relates to one of my stories. So when I was tracking what was coming in, I noticed, I don't know if this is just my story coming in, but, like, some of my attendance in my yoga classes had gone down and out, and I had the story, like, oh, I'm doing this because I love it, and, the martyr thing. So when I was, like, focusing on what I enjoyed about what I was doing, I felt like the money started coming back in, and I was like, okay, I need to somehow recreate a new belief around this, but I don't know how to, like, make that shift because I have this feeling, like, this story that I have some shame around having money and I want to shift that.
Okay, so did the shame around having money get triggered when you were tracking your revenue?
Yes.
Okay, because now you were seeing how much money you were having.
Yeah.
Okay, so for you the pattern is it's better to just avoid it so that you don't trigger that shame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I would look at, Sue, is usually when people carry shame around money, it's because they're afraid that it's going to affect someone in their life in a bad way. So who in your life are you concerned about affecting if you have a lot of money?
No one really comes to mind. I don't know, Monica. No one comes to mind.
Okay. But the other thing I would think about is there something that has happened that has occurred for you that is shameful when you have a lot of money?
No, nothing comes to mind. I think it's maybe related to what someone else had spoken about before. Like, I don't deserve it. That's what's coming up.
Okay, great. So you don't deserve it. The other thing that came to me too, Sue, is that we've talked before about you having had debt before.
Yeah.
So is there any shame, is there any worry that if you have a lot of money, you're going to lose it all again?
I mean, for sure there is, yes.
Okay. Because one of the things that we're going to do next is go over the money cards. And I think your money card is security.
Mm-hmm.
And is security. And the card, the thing about security as a card, as a type, is that people who have the security type are almost afraid to get more money, because if they get more money, it means they might lose more money.
Yeah, like,
so
I'm
like
panicking.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Because,
I'm like, I'm...
Because,
oh,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I'm like, as we're doing this exercise, I'm feeling like panicky about it. I'm like...
Yeah. And it's a control issue. It's feeling like, oh my gosh, if I have more money, then I have more to control, and there's more to lose, and there's more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, ease into realizing that money's not about just controlling, right? It's not about the more you have, the more you have to control. In fact, the less that you try to control it, the more that's going to come in, and the easier you're going to feel, right, about
mm-hmm.
it. And the less pressure you're going to feel about on yourself. So what I would just start to notice for you is the fact that there's a control issue going on, you know, and that you've got to learn to let go a little bit. And the way to do that in small leaps, right, for yourself is spend for you. I mean, I wouldn't say it's for everybody, but for you, I would say start allowing yourself to spend some of the money that you have coming in and feel and know that it's okay. Start practicing the act of letting go of it and not feeling like you have to control it all the time.
Okay.
So for you, for example, I would create a fun bucket, like a fun savings account, and put money into that fun savings account every month and spend it.
All right.
And then I would only, and then the other thing that happens with people who have security stuff around money is you will do anything that anybody asks of you as long as they're paying you. So you will often lower your standards to work with people, because a dollar is a dollar. Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah. So another thing to start working on around is to start only saying yes to working with clients that delight you. So you start to understand that what can be associated with attracting money isn't just control and fear and pressure, but also like passion and fun. And you need to give yourself more of that in order to feel it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Good. And I also encourage you to read the security card. Like, pin it up. It's something for you. Like, read the back of it, of the money cards that I sent you guys, and look at the empowering actions, because any of them would be really great for you to do.
Okay.
Good.
Mom?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Monica, this is Kair. And I'm like, I'm usually pretty quick, but I'm still not getting this. Okay, so the old money speedometer and date taking, I wrote down that amount. Then the new money speedometer and the date, I increased it by like $800. And I'm just going to do it over 3 months as opposed to doing six. But then, so then what's the bold goal and date?
The bold goal is, how much money, Kai, do you want to bring in over the next 3 months? So by May 20, so the bold goal is, I don't know what it is, but let's say you want to create, I don't know, $20,000 over the next 3 months. You would put bold goal, $20,000 by May 26.
Okay, so then the bold goal would just be adding up what my new money speedometer is over the course of 3 months.
Nope, the bold goal is adding your revenue each month. So it's revenue money that you bring in. So do you see how, like, you're writing every day how much revenue you're going to bring in?
Right.
At the end of the month, you're going to add that up. And in between February 26th and March, you know, let's just say you start this March 1st, right, just to make life easier, right? So every day in March, you're going to write down the revenue you bring in, and then you're going to write at the bottom how much you made in March. Then you're going to write at the bottom how much you made in April. Then you're going to write at the bottom how much you made in May. And then at the end of May, you want to have made a certain amount, and that's your bold goal. But you're going to say, March 1st, I want by the end of May to have made $20,000 by May 31st. And you're going to write bold goal, $20,000 May 31st or May 30th, whatever. And then That's going to be at the top of February's sheet or March's sheet. It's going to be at the top of April's sheet. It's going to be at the top of May's sheet, the same bold goal.
Okay. So then, okay, and I got that. But then what's the difference between the new money speedometer and the date and the bold goal and the date?
The new money speedometer, you're not taking your money speedometer again until, let's just say you take it in 6 months for the sake of ease. You're not taking it until July.
Oh, so I should have written what I wrote in the new money speedometer and the goal and the bold goal. Okay.
Yeah. So in July, you're going to go back and you're going to measure your money speedometer again, and you're going to see if it made your goal of $800 more than it was. And the
gotcha.
Way you're going to do that is in July, you're going to go over the last 12 months again, pick out the five highest months, figure out the calculation, and then see, oh, what's my money speedometer now? What did I want it to be? Okay, great. So you're seeing what you want is your average to be going up and up and up every 6 months.
Got you. Thanks a lot.
Well, yeah. Okay. Good. No, it's good, Kai, because I'm sure there's other people that are confused as well. Any other questions? Okay. So I'm going to go back to the handout, and I'm going to explain the Think and Grow Rich statement. Now, I'm going to do this rather quickly because it's fairly self-explanatory, and I also want to spend some really quality time on the money types because, as you can tell with Sue, right, it makes your life easier when you kind of get what money type you are and what's going on with you. So the last kind of tool that you can use to give money attention every day, and this tool is especially useful for those of you that are just starting, is to write a Think and Grow Rich statement. Now, Think and Grow Rich is a book that was written by Napoleon Hill, and it's free. So it's on the internet for free now, but it's one of the most pivotal money books out there, and I recommend that you should either read it or listen to it when you have time. In Think and Grow Rich, they talk about creating a statement, and it's a statement that you write for yourself and then read in the morning and in the evening every day. Now, I create a new Think and Grow Rich statement probably in the beginning of my business, I did it every year, and I would write it and then read it in the morning and read it in the evening. And then now I'll usually make a new one every 6 months or so just to sort of see where I'm going. And the way that you write your statement is exactly this. It's Fix in your mind the amount of exact money that you desire. Determine what you intend to give in return for the money that you desire. Establish a deadline. Create a plan and stick to it. And then write your statement. And I just want to read you an example of a Think and Grow Rich statement. And this is on the bottom of page 20 of your handout. I intend to acquire $4,000 for my business by November 10th, 2010. I will do this by working in a focused effort for at least 5 hours a day, every day, taking good care of myself physically, emotionally, and mentally, and taking time off when I need it. My plan to do this will be to engage in business and health coaching to the individuals who need it, as well as run the company of Ideal Balance. I will also open up other streams of revenue by creating events, running programs, and creating products. I am also open to other streams of revenue as they occur. I am committed to enjoying my work and helping people to help more people and find their calling. So this was an example of a Think and Grow Rich statement that I created for somebody that may want to just write it for the next month, right? So, you know, you could read this for the whole month of October knowing that by November 10th, you want to create $4,000. So you could do it as a short-term goal, you could do it as a medium goal, you could do it as a long-term goal. You could also put more than one goal in your Think and Grow Rich statement. So you could say, I intend to acquire $4,000 for my business by November 10, 2010. I intend to acquire $60,000 for my business by December 31st, 2011. I intend to cross the multi-six-figure mark by December 31st of 2014, right? So you can, or, you know, the five, you know, whatever your goals are, you can say them all, or you could just focus on one short-term goal. Now, the trick to the Think and Grow Rich statement is that you've got to make one that feels good to you. I've had way too many students create the Think and Grow Rich statement, and they don't actually like their statements, so they don't read them every day, and it doesn't appeal to them. Make a statement that you love, that you are proud to read, that you totally connect with, and read it every day. Now, for you guys who are just starting, I'm only going to ask this, that you do this for the next 60 days. Make your statement, read it every day, morning and evening, for the next 60 days, and I just want you to watch what happens. Combine the Think and Grow Rich statement with the revenue tracking sheet and creating a bold goal for yourself, and I want you to watch how your business soars, because it is amazing what happens when you get clarity with your goals and when you pay attention to your goals every single day and when you don't let go of them. Because what often happens is we'll create goals with the best intention and then we'll ignore them, right? We'll put them in a drawer, or we won't read them daily, or we'll forget about them. And what I want you guys to start getting a habit of is having confidence in yourself and in your goals, so much so that you're willing to read it every day. You're willing to remember it every day, and you're willing to be persistent about keeping it going throughout the year. And I'd really like to hear how it goes for you in the next 60 days. So again, just to highlight this section before we move on to the next one, it is number one, create your revenue tracking sheet, right? Either print out the one that I got you or that I created for you, or create your own. Create your bold goal. How much money do you want to make in the next 60 days? Or for some of you, it may be the next 90 days. Whatever works for you. Figure out your money speedometer if that works for you. If it doesn't, like if you're confused about that, just let it go. Come back to it when you're ready, 6 months from now, 8 months from now. And create your Think and Grow Rich statement and read it morning and evening, right? These are the tools that are going to put this energy that we're creating and this clearing that we're creating into action so that you can actually start to see results in your business. Okay. Questions? Okay. Oh, questions? All right. Everyone take a deep breath. Good. Now we're going to release some of this whole sort of technical, analytical stuff, and we're going to go into some of the feeling stuff. And it's a nice way to end the day on a really feminine note. So I want you to take your money cards, the ones that I sent you in the mail, out. And the point of this section is that I want you to determine what money type you are. So let me just go over what the types are. There's recognition, there's status, there's value, there's love, and there's security. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start to describe the different types, and I'm going to follow the handout. And you, as you listen, are going to start to identify which type you are, and you might also, for the fun of it, start to identify which type your partner is, or your mom, or your kids, or other people in your life, so you can kind of get where people are getting hung up. And then when you've identified what type you are, I want you to look at your card, because these cards are really great, because at the end, at the back of each card, there are empowering beliefs and empowering statements that you can say to yourself and think about empowering actions to move yourself into a place of more balance with money. So we're going to go over those here in a moment. So let me just start with the type, the love type. If you're a love money type, you're all heart and you love to please other people. In terms of behaviors, you'll do buying binges. But you're not really buying because you want to buy for yourself. You'll go on buying binges because you want to buy for other people, or you'll buy in order to receive love. Or you'll buy because you're going to a party and you want to please the person at the party, and so you want to make sure you have the perfect dress or the perfect gift for the party. You want to fit in and be liked. You would buy new clothes just to please someone. you get your feelings hurt quite a bit, right? Because you're always looking for love, and you're a bit sensitive about that. So people tend to be a little bit abrasive with you. So do whatever it takes to get love as well. In terms of your money behaviors, you don't really feel any real connection to money. In fact, the only reason you're probably in this class is because you're starting to get that you need money to live, but it's still somewhat of a theoretical concept to you. Like, there's no connection that you feel. It just doesn't seem to be real to you. It feels more like Monopoly or play money. And you avoid looking at your bills and your expenses just because you don't think it's that important. Like, it just doesn't feel real to you. And if you are a love type, you tend to attract those who are demanding and never really satisfied, right? Because it's an interesting sort of dynamic that goes on. You're always looking for love, but you attract people that make you feel like you can't get it. So they're always making you do things out of love for them. So if you are a love type, you need to remember that you are loved all the time, no matter what you do. So your power statement is, I am loved all the time, no matter what. And if you look at the love card, right, the key for you is to do some of these empowering actions. So before spending money, ask yourself the question, what need am I wanting to fulfill? And know that. Make sure it's the right need before you spend the money. You want to track your income and your expenses daily so that you can start to build a relationship with money and it doesn't seem so sort of ethereal to you. You want to review your bank and credit card statements in detail. You want to write a bold goal and a timetable for achieving it. So you really want to use the revenue tracking sheet. You want to keep a daily appreciation journal listing of a minimum of 5 ways you felt appreciated today. The person who's looking for the love type often feels unappreciated at the end of the day. So you want to start making the habit of writing down or noticing how you do feel appreciated so you can kind of come out of that place. Limit or stop spending time with people who trigger your need to feel love, and create connection with money by paying for clothes, meal, and food with cash. So you start to get that it's real and that it's not just random money. Good. That's the love type. Let's move on to the value. If you're a value type, you feel the need to be special. And your behavior is that you feel like things like just happen to me, right? You're often saying, this just happens to me. Like, I always lose my job, or my friends always dump me places, or I'm always losing money. Just things always happen to me. And you often play the victim. You walk around feeling disappointed. You often don't speak up for yourself until it's too late, so you often miss opportunities. You're terrible at setting and keeping boundaries. So you have trouble with boundaries around your appointments, around your clients, around your friends, around your family. At times, you can get very righteous and say things like, I deserve this. You give a lot, but you often give to the point of resentment. And you feel like you need to prove that you're good enough or that I'm a good enough person. In terms of money, you feel like you have very little control over your finances. And in terms of attraction, you tend to attract people who spend more than they make because the reason you do that is that you're not so great with your own boundaries, so you have very little control over stopping them. And again, it reinforces your feeling of being a victim. And the power statement for the value type is, I empower others by empowering myself. So if you're a value type, the actions for you is that you need to start empowering and taking responsibility for yourself so that you can empower others. Now, I also just want to do a caveat here for all of the types. There's always a higher level of expression and a lower level of expression for every type. So you may be value, and you may not be a victim. You may take responsibility for all of it, and you may be demonstrating a higher level of expression, and that's completely fine, right? You may not need to shift anything. Or you may be, a value type and be expressing, neediness and victimness, and you may have some work that you need to do on that. So don't feel like these are all negative. Like, everybody has a type, and whether you're expressing the negative or the positive of your type, it's, a higher level or a lower level within your type of expression, it's all good either way. And in terms of value, empowering actions, if you are a value, are: choose to support friends and family emotionally rather than financially, save 3 months of living expenses, pay off all debts before loaning or giving money to others, write a bold savings goal and a timetable for achieving it, ask for what you need in all areas of your life, keep a daily gratitude journal listing of a minimum of 10 things to be grateful for, right? And this is especially true for those of you that are value, because the tendency is for you to feel like everything is terrible and it's just happening to you. And practice standing in your power with money at least once a day, where you're actually making really powerful statements and doing powerful things with your money at least once a day. All right, let's move on. Security. Now, what's interesting about the security person is, from the outside, they're not going to look like they have a problem with money at all. Often somebody who's a security type is a great saver. They're very frugal. If they have debt at all, they've paid it off really quickly. They desire freedom, and they feel constrained and imprisoned. This is often the person that feels like, gosh, if I could just let go of all the pressure, right? If I could just get away from it all, right? That's because the security person, the more they have, the more pressure they feel, because they're trying to control everything that they have and they do. They love to control things. They love to manage money. On the outside, they look very high-functioning, but they often are not joyful or happy on the inside, or they've lost touch with the joy and the passion in their life. They often live below their means in order to be able to keep their money in a certain place. They will often artificially suppress their need for money because they feel like they can have more control that way. They want more joy in their life. They want to expand their business and attract more wealth and prosperity, but they're terrified to do it. And they feel like, I never know when love, money, or my job or trust will be taken away from me. In terms of how they deal with money, they're great savers. They're very frugal. They usually don't have debt. They don't spend money to the point. Often they won't spend money to the point of self-denial at times, so they'd rather not spend it, even if they have it, because they're worried about losing it. And they save money, but they don't invest it or maximize the potential. So often people who are in the security will worry so much about spending their money that they end up not maximizing it to their highest potential. So, a business owner who's in the security type is the owner that's always putting money away, but they've never invested in themselves or their business. So it's like they're squirreling the same amount of money every year, but they're not growing. They're not growing their business, and they're not taking themselves to the next level because they're afraid. And the security attracts those who are wild with money and need more control. And that makes sense, right, because the security type likes to control. And the power statement is, money, jobs, and love will always be here for me. So, again, if you're the security type, there's a security card. And some empowering actions for security are to create an investment plan, to create a money or vision board depicting luxury items for yourself, because you really want to, like, get in touch with spending your money and being okay with it. Create a fun money bucket and spend it. Create a meaningful, bold goal. Raise your fees or ask for a raise. Raise your standards for accepting clients and assignments. Only say yes to clients and work that delight you. And hire a support team so that you can grow. So really, the actions for the security person are helping them to let go of the tight vice grip that they have on the money, so that they can actually start to grow and feel more joy and passion, both in their businesses and in their lives. Status. So if you're the status type, you need to feel special. Your behaviors are you want the latest and greatest toys. You live life large. You're very generous with other people. You want to be noticed. You feel like whatever you have, it's not quite good enough, and you always need to be getting something better. And you're always chasing the next big thing as a status person. And in terms of how you feel about money, every penny is a penny to be spent. There's no point in saving money. If you're a status person, you often create feast or famine cycles for yourself because you'll go buy the biggest and greatest toys, and then you won't have enough money, you know, to live on for the next month, and then you'll go buy the greatest toys again. You'll often incur debt because you aren't paying attention to how much money you're spending. And in terms of attraction, you often attract people, those who need help, right, because you like to save people. You like to feel special and wanted as a status, as if you're the status type. So the power statement for status is I am successful and financially responsible. So really for that, what that underlying to status is getting really that you can be successful and financially responsible at the same time, that you don't need to be one or the other. And if you're a status person, really empowering actions that are on the back of your status card are to create a debt payoff plan and get excited about it, invest money in appreciating assets, decide in advance how much to spend on holidays, gifts, or entertainment. Show off how much you're saving and investing. Pay yourself first twice monthly. Open a savings account and save 6 months of living expenses. Track income and expenses daily. And review your bank and credit card statements in detail. So this is for status. It's about putting yourself first, your own needs, so that you can start to take better care of your money and not necessarily take as many of the big risks. And finally, the fifth type is recognition. So people who like recognition, they need to get respect. These are the people in the room who take a lot of risks, who want to kind of come in and be recognized for it. You often desire the quick win. Like you want to win the game and you want it to be fast. And you don't like to be wrong if you are recognition. The behaviors is that you'll take risks because you really want that big win and you want it fast and you want to be recognized for it. So you'll take risks. And these are people that often will do get-rich-quick schemes and is willing to sort of scheme and go under the table to be able to do that. You tend to ignore what is tried and true in order to make money because it just seems boring to you, right? You'd much rather, you know, jump on the latest trade for the MLM company or the person that promises you that if you sell 5 t-shirts, you're going to make a lot of money because you would just rather not be bored. One of the challenges if you're a recognition type is that you are challenged about being realistic and practical, and you often feel like you need to prove that you're right. And the other, you know, behavioral problem area for a recognition type is that you're slow to respond to a money problem. So, like, if you are, you know, you've jumped on the ship of an MLM company and you see everything going downhill and you see that you're getting charged every month and not selling products, you're really slow to jump off that train, right? Because you really want it to work. You want the recognition. And you often have a hard time seeing that you're in a bad money situation and you need to stop the bleeding now. In terms of money, you want recognition and respect on how that you've earned your money, which is why you're willing to take risks for it. And in terms of who you attract in your life, you attract those who like to rescue others, right? Because often the person that you attract is going to rescue you at some point as a recognition person. And you also attract those who want someone to believe in them because you love to believe in other people. So you want someone in your life who needs you to believe in them. And in terms of recognition, your power statement is, I'm respected for who I am. And empowering actions are to focus on proven ways of making money instead of high-risk ventures. Join an investment club with a proven track record. Establish a well-defined play money account to use for riskier ventures that you keep separate from your regular account. Trust the advice of a traditional investment expert. Invest money in appreciating assets. Stop, look, and listen carefully before investing money. Open a savings account and save 6 months of living expenses. View bank and credit card statements in detail and track expenses daily. Okay, so what I'd like, I'm going to open up the lines here, and I'd like to hear from some of you what type you are and how this has affected you. So who's what type?
Monica?
Yes.
It's Leslie. Can you be more than one type? Is there like a mixed type?
There is. You can be more than one type, but often when I'm working with clients, it's obvious that you can be mixed in your types, but you probably lean more towards one of them. But what are yours, Leslie?
So you have like a dominant type.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones. Okay. I think that I'm a security type, at least right now.
Yes.
But I also see some value stuff and maybe some love stuff. But I think
okay.
The dominant one is status. Not status, I'm sorry, security.
Security. Interesting. Good. And would you turn this, do you see some helpful actions that you could be doing and empowering statements on the security card that'll help you get to the next level?
Yeah, never know. Yeah.
Good. All right, what else? Let's just see. Karen, what do you think you are?
I am there with Leslie. I think that I am of value, and I've actually wrote them down and put check marks, value and security.
Okay, good. And what was it about, was there any sort of ahas when you were going through the value type in terms of things you should be doing or believing in yourself?
With the value, I mean, it's so funny. Here we are at the end of it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't, like, speak up, and, you know, opportunities may pass me by. So, I found the empowering actions were very helpful, and the bold goal is very helpful for me.
Yeah, good. Good, let's hear from another person. Who else wants to share what type they are?
I'll share. It's Kate.
Okay. Yeah?
I'm definitely a security type, and now I know why I hired you.
Yeah.
Because I've been practicing 22 years, and I really have needed to grow my practice in a different way, and I think I have been pretty terrified. I've just been sort of doing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's interesting, Kate, because as you grow, then, you know, as a security type, you're going to want to spend more of your money on fun things for yourself and create, you know, and start, you know, Kate, you're totally security because the whole boundaries issue, right, around having to say no to clients, you know, was really difficult for you when we started to work on that.
Yeah, great.
Monica, this is,
go ahead, Larkin.
Oh, this is Larkin. I had, two questions. One is, what was the recognition statement for the power statement for recognition? Because I can see myself in about three of these,
uh-huh.
like maybe a mix of them. And I think you kind of answered that question a minute ago about how you could be a combination.
Yeah, you could totally be a combination. But I've been doing this a while with my clients, and a lot of people think they're a combination, but then you end up actually having one primary, and a lot of times you just can't see it yet. But the power statement for recognition is, I need to prove I'm right. Actually, sorry, that's not right. It's I am respected for who I am. The empowering belief is I am respected for who I am, because often people who have recognition feel like they need to be recognized in order to be powerful, instead of just being powerful who they are.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, good. And what types do you think you are, Larkin?
Oh, man. Well, originally when we were talking about security before we started this, I thought that. Now I don't think I'm that at all. I think I'm either love, value, or recognition, and I think it'd probably be love or value. But I can see myself in all three of those.
Yep. Just because I know you, Larkin, I'm pretty certain that you're love.
I hear you say that.
Thank you. Yeah, there's some of you that I've known for a while that I can, you know, like Sue is clearly security, and so is Kate, right? And then, you know, some of you, and there's no positive or negative, you guys, just so you know, I'm security as well. So, you know, and I struggle with all the things that are, you know, all the stuff that are struggles on the cards. So, you know, just to sort of, does anyone else want to share what they are?
I don't know what I am.
Nothing jumped out at you yet?
Well, I was thinking value, but some of the things in love, work, or security, but I don't really keep my mean small. Like, some of the things in the cards don't fit, and some do.
And keep in mind that some of the things in the cards are, again, there's a higher level of expression and there's a lower level of expression, right?
Right.
So you could be security, you know, and totally be spending your money and, you know, and really feel powerful around it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be security and be hoarding and frugal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you really, it'll vary at different points in your life. You know, even like what kind of level of expression you are.
I know. I think I've experienced all of these through my life, but what am I now? Is the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would keep reading. What I would do for all of you, because I don't know if you've gotten a chance yet, is now that you understand the money types, I would read the cards, because the cards have a lot of information on them, right? And then. On the front, they have a description of the type, and on the back, they have your challenge, your disempowering belief, your disempowering behavior, your empowering beliefs, your empowering statements, your empowering actions, your gifts, and your empowering words. So there's quite a bit of information on the cards to move you forward. What I would do is just sit down with a glass of wine or something, read through all the cards, you know, especially for you, Doris, and then just go with instinct on what you think you are right now. And it can shift or it can change. And for those of you that really did get a type down, right, make sure that you are reading the empowering words and the empowering actions and putting those into place for yourself. And I would also pull out that card and post it up on a bulletin board or on your refrigerator so you remember, you know, how to express the highest level of that card. Right, so those of you that are security or love or recognition, you're going to be that your whole life. Like, it's not a bad thing or, you know, or a good thing, but what you want to do is express the highest level of being that. So once you start to get what's tripping you up as a security person, you can start to spend your money, you know, a little and release the pressure, right, and start having a little bit more fun. And you'll always know that when you start to backslide, right, it's probably because you're starting to feel a loss of security or control again, and you need to look at what's underneath the surface for that. You know, and the same thing is true for love or any of the other ones. Like, for example, with love, right, the highest expression of love is a beautiful thing, right? People who have love are pleasers and nurturers and amazing practitioners, right, and go very deep with people, and they have a very high expression of love and who they are and in their practice. But then when they start to backslide, they start doing things to get love, right? And they start getting really sensitive about being loved. And they start to disconnect from money and from their world. And they stop looking at things and they stop tracking. And that's when they start to express the lower level of their type, right? And it's just good to sort of know where you are in terms of your expression. Good. Does that make sense to everybody in terms of their types and their expressions of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. So I am going to officially put a close to our day in terms of new content. But what I would like to do is hear from each of you what was the most important or fun or interesting thing that you're taking away from today? And I'm just going to go down the list and call on you. So, Karen, what was your aha for the day?
You know, it was nice to do the exercise and write things down. I'm a thinker, so everything kind of floats in my head. But just doing each exercise and having the time to do it just made everything so clear.
Great. Good. Good, good, good. Good. And for those of you that didn't get the time, really I encourage you to take the time to finish the exercises, you know, sometime today or tomorrow so that you really have a clear picture of your money situation. Great. Kai, what did you get out of today?
Although you know, you and Lise have done the tracking. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'll make sex and sex this month. But actually writing it out, I was like, oh, this is doable. I was like, oh, I can do this. So the tracking sheet was like, it just made it so much clearer. Like, okay, I just need like 4 or 5 projects per month or 4 or 5 assignments per month to either make my bold goal or to even surpass it. So I'm like, I can do it. It's just, it's not difficult at all.
Yeah, great, good. And, you know, you make a good point there, which is writing it down makes the biggest difference. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good, Kai. And Elizabeth.
Yes, I think I really, doing the, I'm mostly a cash person, so I don't have credit cards anymore because that was a very bad idea for me. And so I was looking at my debit card account, and actually in the last month I only had like 7 or 8 transactions in total because I've been using cash so much, which is good. But I was pleased to see that most of my expenses were in alignment, like they were adding value rather than depleting value, which was really good. And then I just love doing all the exercises, and I look forward to going back over the recording. And I also can really feel a lot of like money juju energy with tracking, and I'm looking forward to kind of figuring out more what my money type is. I think it's love, but I resonated a little bit with value and status as well.
Great. Good. Good, good, good. And, you know, these are things you can discuss with your partners as well. Like, when I first learned the money types, I had a partner that I was working with, and it was funny because she right away could tell my type because we've been working together for a while, and I right away could tell her type, but we both had blind spots in terms of telling our own types. So this may be something you want to bring up in conversation with your buddies down the road. Awesome.
Uh-huh. Well, I definitely know my husband's type. It's very clear. But I'm not quite so clear on my own.
Great. Good. You'll figure it out in time. Larkin.
Yes. Okay. Well, I found that I feel like so much weight has been lifted off my shoulders just through the whole process of my clarity about my relationship with money, and then the clarity that you gave us today about how to create a healthy relationship with money, and then where that can take us, because to me that represents a whole solution to so many of the struggles I was having with the other processes of revenue breakthrough, just the whole process.
Yes.
So I feel very optimistic about that. It's very empowering just through that one concept. So thank you. It was exciting.
Awesome. Great. Good. And I'm glad you pointed out the relationship between this and the rest of Revenue Breakthrough. Like, I think you guys are going to see Revenue Breakthrough entirely different now that you've actually done some exploration around your own money and your own expenses. You're going to see the connection between learning the skill set of marketing and building your business and actually filling your bank account with receiving money and see how they're all sort of connected that way. Awesome. Very good, Larkin.
I really liked the exercise that we did together. So it helped me to see the value in what I'm offering, and, you know, it just makes me want to just run out there and just do, you know, versus holding it in and being quiet. So,
yes. Very good. I love to hear that. I want to go out there and do. That's my kind of music to my ears. Great. Good. Lovely.
Thank you so much for this. This is definitely amazing. I feel hopeful. I feel that I have a framework that I can work with. I have a guide, and I have steps, so I know, you know, do step one, do step two, do step three, go in order. And before, I think I was in there just all over the place and not really having, like, clear direction. So I feel that I have more direction. I feel hopeful about that. And I like that, you know, the exercise that we did about benefits and what exactly we're offering and how invaluable it is to a client. That really motivated me and made me feel like, okay, you know, I have something to give, and I want to give it. So that was really, really, really helpful. So,
great.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good. Great. And Kate?
Yes?
What did you find useful for today?
Well, what I learned was that I need to bring in some daddy energy, some deity energy, and because I don't really feel like I got enough support when I was younger around feeling safe around money. So that's what I'm going to work on.
Great. Good. Good, good, good. And did you say deity energy?
Yeah, I'm going to pick a – sounds crazy, but I'm going to find a deity that has more masculine – energy to support me on a spiritual plane. But
yeah,
because of, you know, I think that that's what's been sort of holding me back is that lack of feeling supported. So
consider Lakshmi, Kate.
Who?
Lakshmi?
Oh, Lakshmi.
Do you see
it? Yeah.
When you're picking someone to get support from, because
is she the Hindu guy the monkey head?
No, she's the Hindu goddess of money and wealth and wisdom. Yeah. You can look her up. It's Lakshmi.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's goddesses all over in every culture that do that. So awesome, Kate. I think that's great, and I think it's good that you recognize that. But now, who else did I miss here? Because I don't have all your names.
Doris. Yes, I have Lakshmi on my desk here.
Great.
I think that there's a lot of new things for me to look at, and some things that started way back also. And yes, I agree with Kate with the father role or masculine energy that I like that would need that some of that support. But I also like that money wants to be paid attention to. That was really interesting. And I have to take a better look at the money type. And this helped me to better create some goals and plans of what to do or what to create for the next few months. So like Leslie said, I think that the exercise, the benefit exercise, is really powerful to make you feel more confident about what you're offering people.
Yeah. Great. Good. Thank you, Doris.
Thanks.
Good.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Is that everybody?
Yep, that's me. It's Joyce.
Joyce.
I think the holiday in general just really confirmed for me that I really have, like, I got to see how much I've grown in respect to money over even just since January.
Great.
And I do have a lot more structures now that you gave us so that I can actually take that a little bit further. Because the process that I'm going through right now, I'm stagnated. I'm going to be in this process for a really long time, and I was looking for little steps, other steps that I could take, and I think I have those.
Great. Good, Joyce, and it's great to hear that you're moving forward and that you're doing good in your own process. Awesome. Good. And who else?
This is Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Hey. So, yes, the whole day was amazing, and thank you so much for your energy and for all the exercises and tools that you've given us. I found so many things helpful. I think the one thing that's probably standing out the most is the cards and, and just finding empowering actions and statements that I could do to help me move forward.
Yeah.
Really helpful.
So, you know, Sue, I would recommend that you have a conversation with Kate, like that the two of you should talk about the security type at some point, because you guys can help each other. Both of you are stuck in somewhat similar places, and then you also have complementary things, like places where you've unstuck yourself and can help Kate, and Kate has unstuck herself and can help you. I think that's going to be helpful. And it's interesting, you know, and I really recommend that everybody start to connect with each other on the forum, because you all have, you know, amazing things to offer, you know, and hopefully this class has gotten you to see some of the personalities of the other people in the program. But awesome, Stu. It's great. I thought you would like the money cards. and I encourage you to read the security one, you know, because for me, I remember when I first read that, and it really opened up for me exactly what I was holding myself back in, and it was really quite an eye-opening experience. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Anyone else want to? Is that everybody?
Hey, Monica. Are you going to be able to post some resources or books that you've read having to do with money? I seem to be.
Oh, yeah. I will. Let's see. What will I do? I'll either post the list on the forum. That's probably what I'll end up doing. On the forum, I'll make a new topic called the Money Breakthrough Day, just so you guys can put your comments and stuff in there, and I'll post resources in there. I probably will not post until Monday, just because I think I'm going to take tomorrow off, but with resources for other books and other areas, and it will also allow those of you who have been doing this to post for other people too, like your suggestions on doing it. And just off the cuff here, Think and Grow Rich is a great resource. Also, Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanny is a great resource. And The Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eckert is another great resource. And I will write them all up for you so you can get a sense of them. Okay, I just want to say thank you to all of you. It's been an amazing day, and you guys have all been patient and amazing and wonderful, and I feel very blessed to have you in the group. And I just also want to remind you that our next class is not next week. It's the week after next week, because next week I'm leading the Breakthrough Summit. So if you haven't signed up for the Six Figure Breakthrough Summit, go sign up. It's sixfigurebreakthroughsummit.com. It's free. And I'll be doing 14 interviews next week, so I'll have my hands full. But I will be happy and excited to teach you guys the signature system again on that second week in March. So good night to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank
you,
Monica. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing.